This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And it's me, Deb Wolf, calling from Camp Good Dog with two cats on my desk. So maybe it's Camp Good Cat, I don't know. But today we've got Lori Mason back on the show to talk some more about Guardian Therapeutic Laser. And we're going to kind of talk about what it would actually be like if your dog or cat was a patient. But before I get to that, I want to give a shout out to a zookeeper in San Diego who went out of his way to make a wetsuit for a penguin. Well, why would you do that? Well, the penguins only live till age 15 in the wild. That's what's normal. And they actually have a penguin there who's 37 years old, a female penguin. And she was getting cold. That's why. So they made her a wetsuit. I think that's just great. So shout out to that zookeeper. Well done. All right. So here we go. Lori Mason, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great. So, okay, I understand you do this laser therapy on dogs and cats, that it's sort of in conjunction with veterinarians, and you're kind of guided by the vet as to what the problem is. But I kind of want to go through it. I know we talked about it on a previous show. So if people are listening and they want to hear more about what the laser is or how it's different from other lasers, you can hear that on a previous show. But it's called a hot laser, which is warm, not cold. And it's the strongest laser you can get for this kind of purpose. And I just want to know, if I were to call you, like say for my old blue healer, he has a limp on his back right leg where he was tied up for the early part of his life to a trailer before he was rescued. He's had three owners before me. So I've had him a long time now, though, 10 years. And the limp was never really very apparent until he got old. So now it's quite noticeable. And he has trouble sometimes getting up from lying down. And sometimes he looks unsteady on his feet, or he'll wipe out if he tries to turn around too quickly. So he's probably a candidate, I think. But what would it be like? I guess I'd call you up, and would I have to go see a vet? Can you walk me through the procedure, how it would go?
You bet. So I gather some information from you because you may be a person with a dog who's injured, or you may be a person with a dog that's like a human athlete that just has overuse injuries, you know, trying to determine exactly this level of injury. And then I ask if a vet has diagnosed. And the reason that I ask that is it gives me a better idea, again, what's going on or whether there's any underlying conditions. Once we find that out, I will ask if. So number one, if you've been to your vet.
Okay. So in our case, I took him maybe a month ago, 6 weeks ago, and they did a blood panel and they didn't find anything interesting really. And they said if I wanted to get x-rays, I could, but
okay,
they didn't really recommend it. It seemed like they just thought he was old.
Perfect.
She was born in 2011, so he's pretty old.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, he is. So I would then ask if he's on any medications. If he is, or he's on any photosensitive drugs, does he get a corticosteroid regularly, injection regularly, those types of questions. And if, say, he's on a photosensitive drug, then it would be contraindicated to do laser.
Right.
If he's on injections, we would ask that he not have them prior to laser. He needs at least 24 hours in between. But all things go from that point. We would just set up an appointment. I work in different areas on different days of the week. So depending on the area you were in, it would have to be on one of the days that I'm in that area.
Right.
And then we would go from there. And so I would show up. Typically, I am well received by dogs because I tend to smell like one because I've been to so many houses with dogs. It confuses them, but it also relaxes them. I'm non-threatening. I don't have anything, you know, in my hands that would worry them. We go to their favorite place to lay down. And I go very gradually with the items as I take them out of my case. I let them smell them so that they're relaxed. And then as soon as they start to realize that the laser actually feels good, you can just see them visibly relax. Some dogs, if they're nervous around people, may require their owner to sit there for a while with them until they become more relaxed with the process. And that can take one treatment. It could take 15 minutes in a treatment. It could take 3 or 4 treatments. It just depends on how nervous the dog is around strangers too.
I imagine that's a big issue with cats.
Yes. And cats also get even. I treated 2 cats at a rescue one morning, and the first cat was quite offended with the process. So while feeding the second cat, the first cat went in and sprayed inside my case.
Oh, nasty. You know, and all the behavioralists say dogs don't hold grudges, dogs don't act out, cats don't hold grudges. They don't do what you just said. And I don't agree. I don't agree. I had my original blue heeler before this one, also a rescue, used to poop in my ex-husband's shoe, never anywhere else. Like, come on. That's a grudge. And she was right, by the way. She was right all along. But okay. So they're relaxed and they get the laser. And do they lie there? And like, I remember a lot of times with the acupressure, it was almost like my dog was trying to offer up what hurt to the doctor. Are they doing that? Or are they like sort of showing you like, do it here, touch me here?
Well, what I do, and I guess I skipped over that part. So even though you may have told me that their back hurts, I will do a check of the spine, see if there's any spasming happening anywhere. I will check their legs to see if I feel any indication of pain. And then while I'm treating them, I'm also watching for signs that they're going, oh, that's really sore, or don't touch that. Because they can do it with a change in how their eyes are, just little subtle movements.
Yeah,
with
their breathing.
Yeah, and they can communicate a lot to me while I'm assessing and while I'm treating. And so, you know, you may say, I want you to come and treat their knee. And in actual fact, I'll say, I'd really like to do this area as well.
Yeah, the hip or something. It just looks like the knee, but actually he's telling me his hip hurts. I get that. Okay. And then, so you treat the animal. How long are you there for? 15 minutes or so? Or is it longer?
Depends on the dog. So when I program the machine, it takes into account the animal's weight, their skin color, their hair color, because those are all things that the machine needs to know to set the wattage, the joules, that sort of thing. And then also the time spent in an area. So for a larger dog, I could be there for 45 minutes. For a smaller dog, I could be done in 25 or 20. Depends. And how many areas we're treating on the dog.
So fascinating. Okay, well, we're going to go to a break and come back. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. This is Deborah Wolf, host of Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. You know the expression, cats have 9 lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio, and we're talking with Lori Mason, and we've been talking about Guardian Therapeutic Laser. But I want to ask her, I know that you just adopted a dog. Does the laser have any uses with trauma, with rescue dogs, with separation anxiety, with anything other than the physical, or is it just for physical?
That's a very good question. It can be a side effect that shows up. It's been a real joy and learning curve with the machine, because sometimes when you're treating one thing, other things get better. And that would be one thing that you could benefit from. I've seen it where treating a dog's spine, for instance, may make them a lot more calmer and relaxed. It's not something that you say, I'm going to treat this dog for anxiety, but it can be a side effect. I've treated dogs been called in because a dog has had a hip and knee issue, and clubbing their feet which clubbing their feet is usually an indication of a neurological issue. And so I've treated more than their knee and hips and found out that the dog has struggled with seizures on a regular basis, like every week having seizures. And after we've been doing laser, the seizures have stopped. Now, I didn't go there to treat seizures, but seizures were affected by it. So, and we know that that's a neurological issue.
Do you know, I kind of approach this from the other direction in my work. Sometimes you get an animal that is behaving so unlike himself. There was this dog, Maggie, a big mastiff, who loved to play and wrestle and play with everybody. And all of a sudden she became dog aggressive. And her owner said, I don't know what's wrong with her. She's picking fights at the park. She doesn't want anyone near her. I thought, doesn't want anyone near her. So I took her outside and I gently touched her back. No dogs around. And I could see her shiver and wince like she was ready to experience pain from being touched. And so the owners took the dog to the vet, did a whole workup, and they found out that she had a spinal condition that was causing her constant pain. And the reason for the behavior change was that any kind of jostling or play fighting was painful. And she just didn't want it anymore. So she was telling me, hey, stay away, stay away, stay away, stay away. So sometimes I think this would have a huge effect. You know, an animal that's afraid of being jostled or hurt, afraid of being touched, an animal that maybe presents like a cat that presents aloof or shy or timid or scaredy cat or never comes out, is because coming out hurts. And once you get rid of the pain, now this is friendly cat. Right? So a lot can change when animals are in pain, cats especially. They don't like to show it, right? Like a dog will show you where he hurts. He'll lift up his leg, whoop, 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 whoop. This is where I hurt. A cat doesn't do that. A cat hides that leg underneath itself and says, I'm fine, because it's such a tiny little prey animal. It doesn't want anyone to know that it's injured and they could catch it. You know, so how do you figure out where the cat hurts when you're working with cats?
It's also similar. For instance, a cat and dog will often like not want to jump up on furniture or jump up on their cat tree. They will slow their gait and lower their neck down. And people think, oh, they're stalking. They're not. They've got some spinal pain going on there. And that's why they're lowering their neck.
What about the litter box? Because this is the thing, okay?
Oh,
more cats are abandoned, put down, left homeless because of litter box issues than anything else. It's the number one reason. And a lot of times the reason they can't use the box is pain. The box is too high, or the box has too much of a lip or an edge and they got old and now they can't reach it. Or they were, unfortunately, the victims of declawing and now their feet hurt all the time. So I could see that litter box manners would improve so much with this. What, have you seen any cats with their claws missing and the pain from that? Have you worked on that with laser at all?
I have done that in one case, yes.
How was that? Okay, you know what? We got to go to break. I'm going to come back from break and I'm going to ask you about that because I really want to know. Can you reverse some of the damage done? Stay tuned on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back. We got all our breaks out of the way. Now we can get into the meat of this. We're talking about laser therapy. And I want to know if your cat was, you know, somebody else had his claws removed, which is illegal in a lot of places in Canada now. It's considered cruel, and it should be. But anyway, if it happened and you've got a rescue cat and you want to make sure that cat isn't in pain, how does the laser work with that?
So a lot of people don't realize that the claws are attached to the spine, and that's why they're getting pain. And so what I would do in a case like that is I would treat from the paw up the leg and up to the spine, where if it's the back legs that are giving them, or back paws that are more sensitive, then you would work and you would go up into the hips and the lumbar. If it's the front, then you would go up into the neck and the thoracic area. But yes, it's just like a missing limb on a human being. They'll get phantom pain.
You know, people think of it as a manicure, a pedicure, a nail trim. It is not. You can trim your cat's nails, your dog's nails, and you should with clippers. But what we're talking about, they amputate below the knuckle. It's serious stuff. It's not okay. It's really not okay. And it doesn't make cats nicer. It doesn't make them happier. It doesn't make them less likely to damage things. In fact, it makes them more likely to have litter box issues later in life, more likely to have aggression with people and pets, because and less likely to get away if they're ever cornered. It's really a bad, bad idea. Better get a cat scratch. They'll scratch the cat scratch and you won't have to worry about anything else. So, okay. So tell me what you want people to know about this laser, because it sounds like it was such a game changer for you and your Nova Scotia duck toller, that little dog, 10-year-old medium-sized retriever that one day was swimming and swimming and swimming and the next day couldn't get up. What do you want people to know?
Well, laser is drug-free, so you don't have to worry about your dog or cat reacting to something that they're potentially allergic to, or there's so many controversial drugs out on the market that they do for pain. So it takes it right off the table. It's surgery-free, so it reduces pain and can often heal what would normally be only a surgery option. I'm not saying that surgery isn't necessary at times. I'm just saying that it's a possibility that you can nip it before it ever gets to that state. Mm-hmm. It reduces swelling. And we all know what it's like when you get inflammation. It's very painful. And if you can reduce that inflammation, it'll improve their range of motion and the body will start healing better. And those are all attributes of class 4 laser.
Do you know, one thing that occurs to me with animals that maybe people aren't realizing is a lot of us will try things, right? We'll try, you know, yoga to cure something we have, or we'll try meditation, or we'll try whatever, any kind of alternative therapy that we try. And you never really know how much of it is your belief that it's going to work.
Yes.
Right? But animals don't, they don't know. They don't know what's going on. They don't, there's no faking. Right. If the animal, like my dog Mike, had to be carried into the doctor but could walk out every time, that's not because he believed in the doctor. It's not. Something else was going on there. And I mean, belief and faith and placebo effect is wonderful when it works. I mean, great. And it's helpful with humans because we get stuck. We get stuck in past pain when we no longer have it and our body still remembers it and we get stuck. And so sometimes believing in a cure can help you get over that. But with animals, they don't get stuck. They're in the moment every day, all the time. If the pain is gone, they run. If the pain is there, they don't. So that strikes me as something really different here with human medicine and when you're trying alternative medicines on animals. And the other thing, when you mentioned drug-free, I remember, I think it was the 80s, when they started putting glucosamine in a lot of the dog foods. One of the brands was called Nutros, and they had this senior food and it had the glucosamine right in it. And I remember there was a big trend to give all dogs glucosamine. People were buying it from Costco in these giant bottles and putting it in the food. And there were other drugs given at the time. And in particular, I remember that drug causing a little bit of aggression. Dogs got edgier. And I can't prove that. It's not listed as a side effect. But when I had training customers who were a little bit edgy, we would change their food and things would improve. So there are unknown consequences of all kinds of drugs. And one in particular that I know the vets were forced to admit is when they used to put dogs on prednisone, which they used to do all the time. They didn't have Apoquel and some of the modern drugs that they do now. And so if a dog was scratching and scratching and scratching and they couldn't figure out why, and it was some kind of immune thing, maybe it was hot spots, maybe it was flea allergy, it was recurring, even sometimes ear infections, they would put the dog on a permanent dose of prednisone. And prednisone would make that dog famished. It wanted to eat everything. It would make the dog into just a little canine vacuum, right? And so now the people had to muzzle it at the park or go raid garbage or steal food from strangers. Now the people couldn't really walk it without it just snorting along the ground looking for food. The dog's personality had changed completely. And a lot of these dogs then got weight issues. And so, you know, so drugs cause problems. They do. Every drug has, if it doesn't have any side effects or symptoms or causes, then it's probably not doing anything. Drugs cause things. And then you take one drug for another drug and then another drug and another. So I love it that this is drug free. That's good right there. If you had a dog or a cat in pain, you could try a few sessions and see without having an injection, for example, that's in their body for 6 months. And if it didn't work, or if the dog reacted badly to it, what are you going to do now? Or something that takes 3 months of pills to even see if it works, that kind of thing. So this is a terrific solution for that. I really like that. Is there anything else you'd like people to know? How about how to reach you, how to find out more, how to book an appointment?
Yes, for sure. You can reach me through Facebook. You can message me on Facebook at Guardian Therapeutic Laser. You can go to my website, guardiantherapeuticlaser.ca. You can email me at guardiantherapeuticlaser@gmail.com. And phosphor laser, it stimulates the release of endorphins and blocks the pain signals. So that's really important in the process of healing, because then the dog is moving, just like we would move more even though we're sore. If we're not feeling pain, we can stretch out that leg that's sore. Whereas if we're feeling pain, we're going to hold it tight and it's going to get stiffer. Mm-hmm. So those are just things to think about. And scar tissue formation's reduced when the healing's accelerated during the process of healing. And you can add it to any other treatment like water therapy, physio, acupuncture, chiro, and they work very well together. So just there's so many options out there for dogs, just like there are for people. And for cats, you have to catch them first.
You have to catch them first. But I bet the third or fourth time, they're easier to catch when they know you're coming. I bet.
Absolutely.
It gives relief, right? So, okay. So let's run through the problems laser can help one more time. So wounds, arthritis, spinal issues. Can you give me the list?
Yes, you bet. Wounds, allergies, infections, cuts, bites, inflammations, tooth extraction, pain relief. Sprains, strains, fractures, post-surgical healing and pain relief, degenerative joint disease, inflammatory bowel disease, periodontal disease, lip granulomas, geriatric care, hip dysplasia, feline acne, tendonitis, arthritis, otitis. So cats are more prone usually to bladder infections. So it's good with that. If they have hearing, if they have oral infection, and that's AUR, not OR, then it will help reduce that infection. I had one little chihuahua that I treat regularly because she has a deformed ear inside. And so she kept taking her in, and they said they couldn't see in there far enough to know if there was an obstruction and to try laser. And she does much better after laser treatment.
Hmm.
But it's not permanent, so she has to still have them regularly, but it does make a huge difference.
Do you suit up for this? Like, do you cover your eyes?
Yes, you have to have special glasses, and so I wear them, as do the parents.
What about the dog? Does the dog get goggles, or the cat?
Dog does not need nope. goggles if you do okay. the appropriately, but yes.
Because I'd like to see that. I'm sorry, but that would look cool. All right. Because, if you go for like hair removal laser, they give the patient and the practitioner eyewear. So that's why I was wondering yes. that. Because the laser's not safe. It's not no. something you can just get anywhere. It's highly regulated, isn't it? This is like yeah. medical equipment.
And if there is a dog that tends to turn its head backwards, then you can also protect their eyes by several layers of black felt.
Oh,
so
okay.
I have that in my kit, because often with goggles or doggles, they pull them off during a treatment. And so the felt better, because you can hold it up, or the owner can hold it up if the dog turns its head towards the laser. But most dogs don't. They just relax and lay down, or they look the other way and just enjoy the treatment for the most part. I had one dog that I was called out to, and this is just a quick, funny story. She was a guardian dog. She's not used to people, and she was definitely doing her job. And the owner said, when you come out, just stay in your car and I will come and bring you in so that she knows that you're okay to be here. But she'll need to have a muzzle on, because I just don't trust her mm-hmm. not to bite.
Mm-hmm.
So she brought this massive dog inside and put the muzzle on her, and she was showing me all of her teeth. And I did the treatment, And at the end, a couple times she reached over and banged me with the muzzle. So the lady said, I'm really glad.
Yeah, that's a sign. I would bite you if I could.
Mm-hmm. And the second I finished the treatment, I said, okay, well, we're all done. And I turned to put my stuff down. The dog reached up with its paw and just ripped the muzzle right off. So she could have taken it off. And she stared at me after. It was like, she was saying, see, I could have taken this off.
I chose to wear this for your confidence because I didn't want you to stop the treatment. That's what that is. You can be really smart, you know?
They are. They're pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, next time, maybe you'll loop the strap of the muzzle around the collar. That's, and then snap it together because then they can't do that. That's my trick. All right, everybody. Well, I hate to let you go because this is just so wonderful. I'm so excited to hear about new therapies for animals. But I'm going to end the show with a comment on some things I've seen in the news. So we're going to say goodbye to Lori Mason. Thank you so much for coming to us here at Animal Party Pet Life Radio and telling us about this great new therapy. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
All right. So in the news, the newscasters were commenting on pandas. And they were talking about the Smithsonian pandas that are coming. And they were saying, the newsman was saying he was so surprised that the two pandas had different personalities, that one was considered shy and one was more of an extrovert. And that just irritated me to no end. Why are you surprised that two animals are different? Do you really think every single individual animal in the world is the same, that they have no personality? There isn't a bold one. There isn't a leader and a follower. There isn't an affectionate one and an aloof one. That they're all identical? How can this guy be on the news? And then, so I'm already irritated. And then they flick to the commercials. And what do I see? That same old Subaru commercial I can't stand, where they show these huskies who don't like snow. They're like, if you're going to use animals to sell your products, at least get the information right. Huskies like snow. Malamutes like snow. If you got a car full of sled dogs and you're driving through a blizzard and you think you're doing them a favor, keeping them in the car, you are mistaken. That is insane. All right. And then next commercial comes on. And what do I see? Talking pigeons, real pigeons with animated voices, real pigeons on a wire talking about sports networks and satellite TV. And one of them says, well, us pigeons, we're not athletes. What? What are you talking about? Pigeons are the endurance flyers. They're the ones we send messages with. They can live anywhere. In the middle of our filth, they can live in, under bridges and ramps and in the cities. They're survivalists. They're like the original cast of Survivor. No, to say a pigeon is unathletic is ridiculous. You try flying those distances with a message, or running, or walking, or jogging. Mister, I don't like this. If you're going to use animals in the, to sell your products, please get the story right. Represent the animals appropriate. That pigeon should have said, we're long distance runners. That's why we like watching sports. There. All right. And the huskies and the malamutes, they're going to go romp in the snow and do a better job than any vehicle because they don't have to stay on the road, which is a good thing to remember. One time years and years ago, I had these two malamute clients, Sasha and Kona. And Kona was a little bit aggressive with people, and Sasha was a little bit aggressive with dogs. So they hired me to train these two to be nice, which I did. They also had a pit bull, contrary to type, as pit bulls are often seen as the worst of the worst. They also had a pit bull called Zeus, who was the sweetest dog you could ever meet, possibly because the other two kept him in check. But anyway, I took these two on a snowy, snowy day with a sled to see if they would pull me because the owners really wanted me to try it. And yes, yes, these two untrained malamutes absolutely did pull me. But the thing is, steering was not good. They didn't care about staying on the trail. No, they didn't. They pulled me right into the shrubs and the trees and the forest and the brambles. And yeah, we eventually had to rethink the whole endeavor. So steering a sled is a little bit harder than just getting them to go. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. From me, Deb Wolf, be good to your animals. Ciao, meow.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.